Okay, thank you,
Well, anytime
everyone.
you wish.
So again, my name is Susan Alatrico. I have the portion in the body, and I just wanted to get us connected a little bit in the body right now. So if we can take a second, perhaps feel our hand on our belly and our heart area. And I had written down breathing in and feeling that, you know, peaceful sensation of the breath moving in and out of the body. But I don't feel that way right now. My heart is pounding. There's a little bit of twisting in my belly. So what are you feeling right now? It's just a human body, a human in a human body. It breathes, it feels sensations. Right here, right now, we are safe here. I love that quote from Mary Oliver to touch that soft animal of the body that loves to be here. If you can hold this throughout the day, coming back to that felt sense of the body, thank you. So as I was saying, the body just breathes, feels sensations. It's elemental. That is, it's made of the same substances as nature, everything around us. Earth, air, water, fire. Feeling the movement of the air in the body. So throughout the day, please come back to this present moment, resting in the body. I was going to say, there's one thing. If you remember one thing today, remember here. Here. And if you remember three things today, in the Buddha's words, this is not mine. This I am not. This is not myself. So today, when we feel the sensations in the body, we do so with curiosity and wonder and kindness, and not with that judgment of, oh, my pants are too tight, or I don't like the way I feel. And you may feel that way, but that's adding a story on top of it. That's adding a resistance. We're in the body in its coarse form because it's a tether to the here. When we're out in meditation with, if we're experiencing focusing on our mind or sensations in the body, the tether is the body, and the mindfulness reminds us to come back here in the body. I was thinking of an analogy like, have you ever seen those little tethers children wear? And they run away, and then that tether just, oh, okay, remembers to come back. So perhaps our mindfulness can do that and bring us back in the body. We're remembering to return. So today, I'll share the Satipatthana Sutta, some pieces in my own words. Hopefully it's very dense, so I won't be able to like read it all to you, but it is a great read. I'll sprinkle some of my own experiences in there for practice suggestions, and then we'll have a sit. Oops, I need to set my timer. And so my experience in my body may not be like yours. It's very limited. White, female, able-bodied, never had a chronic illness, never had severe debilitating pain. I'm in my early 60s. So please forgive me if I don't speak to your experience. It may be confusing, and some of things I say may be offensive, because the exploration of the body takes us to some pretty uncomfortable places to the Western palate. But first, let's sit in a wonder about the body with a quote from Rodney Smith, the Sims guiding teacher. The body represents all form, not just its own form. When we observe what the body is, we bear witness to the composition of the planets and the stars. So now I wrote this down and I wrote my story, but it's probably not my story. And it goes something like this. I didn't really want to be in the body. I didn't like it. I ignored it. It said things to me. I pretended I didn't feel it. I was afraid. I didn't say anything. So there's a lot inside that I didn't relate to. I didn't allow myself to. So like many of us, I just rode on top of my body through life, like riding on a horse. It did things for me. It got me to the tops of mountains. It got me to so many miles of this or that. It was strong, but I was experiencing a limited experience of it, but I didn't know any better. I was of the uninstructed variety, and still am in many ways. So some of these reasons I've come to know as trauma, quite frankly. But the body is a messenger. And I'll use the example again of a toddler. It's as relentless as a toddler who wants its favorite toy or favorite snack. It wants our attention. And if we don't give it the attention, it's going to be locked in somewhere. And it may explode out various times with anger or pain. The body and mind cannot be separated, and as you'll hear, they share the same nervous system. We feel our thoughts. We feel the sensations. We feel the sensations from our senses that we take in. We feel our emotions. A stressed body is a stressed mind. A calm body is a calm mind. There was a t-shirt I had at one point when it was an African dance class, and it said, free your body. Well, it used a pejorative for body. Free your body and your mind will follow. And Heather Sundberg, a teacher, says Vipassana is set up perfectly to help the body, its nervous system relax and be still, feel safe by noting, I'm here, I'm safe, I'm right here. And there, the new evolution of somatic experiences being beautifully woven into the Dharma, as many of you already know. And I think it's a great, I guess, evolution. So what happened to me is that when I allowed some time in the body, spaciousness opened in my body by being still. And I had access to joy, contentment, and ease. I didn't know joy was there. And somebody pointed out, oh, that's joy, what you just experienced. And I didn't do it alone. I had lots of Sangha support and professional support. So here's another quote. Thomas Hubel, a German author and leader of Founder for Inner Sciences, describes the body as this. It's not 40, 50, or 60 years old. It's hundreds of thousands of years old. Intelligence is stored in its concentrated liquid of humanity. The resilience of our ancestors who went through crisis is here now, or we would not be here. It's in our cells, in our emotional systems, in our social relational, mental relational systems. That's how we survived. So the body is teacher, and the Buddha says, it's within the fathom-long body that the whole Dharma is revealed. And he said, see for yourself. So the Satipatthana Sutta offers a map to practice with the body. He says, we abide contemplating the body as body, ardent, fully aware, and mindful, having put away covetousness and grief for the world. I was looking up a few definitions for ardent, and I thought it was pretty amazing to hear. Passionate, glowing, shining like fire. Aware, what's here? And mindful, remembering to come back to what's here. So the Buddha says, first, we got to create an environment that's conducive to meditation, serenity. And back then, the direction was to go to the forest, find a suitable place or a hut, an empty hut or the root of the tree, sit down, fold your legs, sit with your body erect, and establish mindfulness right in front of them, which leads us to the mindfulness of the breath, which is also realizing the wind element. Now, the breath, for many of us, wherever it's the most prominent, I like to say that's where we focus. And it could jump around a bit from the chest, the belly, or the nose, but trying to keep, where is it most prominent? So in this Anapanasati Sutta, the breath meditation, there are 16 trainings that actually the four foundations of mindfulness are woven into, and it is a beautiful training. And basically, we are asked to be with the experience of breathing, which we, you know, what does that mean? Well, we want to try it for a few seconds, and then we go away. It's really hard, as I'll explain, and I'll share with you in a second. But so we start by just being aware. I'm breathing. I know I'm breathing in. I know I'm breathing out. I know I'm breathing in long. I know I'm breathing out long. And I remember a really vivid experience at a retreat where I had come from some really stressful circumstances, and my mind was like right here. I couldn't rest it in the body. It didn't go down. It didn't go into my body. And I tried and I tried, and I kept waking up to, whoa, it's right here. Like the breath is here. I couldn't locate it in the body until I did. When the breath found the body and didn't leave, my mindfulness didn't leave. Oh my gosh, I could sit with my eyes closed for days. There was a universe in there. There is a universe inside. There are infinite ways to experience the breath moving in the body, known as prana or life, the energy moving in, out, up, down, around. And I was practicing. That was mindfulness. I stayed there, and I experienced the rising and passing away and changing of sensations. I like to put it this way. I was the magic school bus going inside the human body with Miss Frizzle. I was there. Anyway, I need to move on. It was extraordinary. I found the breath in my body. So the Buddha tells us to be mindful in all postures. In all, there's four postures that people have awakened in, including standing, lying down, sitting and walking. And he says, be mindful when we're sitting, when we're standing, when we're walking. And he invites us to go further. He says, be mindful in all of our activities, when we're moving forward, when we're back, when we're reaching, extending, bending, cooking, eating, using the toilet. And he goes into quite a lot of details. So this is an opportunity to abide internally, externally, or both internally and externally. And what I understand that to be is that when we see ourselves reflected in that outside, on the outside, even with each other, we tend to respond to other people's body language, breath, or experiences. There's an example of a teacher who could not walk during a meditation. And after days of frustration, she found herself looking at a fellow meditator walker, and she saw herself walking with him in her body. So that would be an example of abiding externally. So this practice offers us to look at this hunk of flesh that we idolize and see as sensuous and, you know, dress up. And I'll just quote Rodney again. When we divest in the fascination of the body, or that it needs to be improved, it starts to get quiet and we start to experience its stillness, ease, and contentment. Our lives move beyond the thought-based intellect and move toward the intuitive felt sense of knowing the body. And we begin to see the outside world not as separate or external to us. And another way the Buddha offers us to see the body is on the elemental level, and says, hey, remember, the body's a collection of parts. And it's changing and decaying, and it's made up of these elements, earth, wind, fire, and water. So I'm going to, well, I'll start with the elements first. So we can experience hardness, the earth element, as pressure, softness, and the wind element in our breathing movement or vibrating and throbbing, tingling. The fire element is a sense of burning heat or cold, and water is fluidity and cohesion. And so in doing so, we can release a huge amount of energy, and the body can open and just be filled with this bliss, tingling of release of severe discomfort. And that happened to me with a hip pain I had. And I blame it on like 20 years of horseback riding, which probably turned my hips in like this. And so it was very painful. And the Buddha also says, hey, remember that the elements are not discouraged or offended when things are thrown in them. So meditate like the elements. Don't be discouraged when something comes in. The water, when it, you throw dirty clothes in it, it's not like, get out, stop it. This shouldn't be happening. Though this is my favorite part. So the Buddha says we've got to examine the body as body parts. And so here's one example. He says, here's this bag. He cuts it at both ends. And there's a bunch of grains and seeds. He says, look, you can see the seeds, or one would say they're beans and peas and lentils and brown rice and white rice, garbanzo beans. Look at the body the same way. Put a pile in front of us. Say, hey, there's just hair, bones, skin, flesh, liquid. Kind of neuters the sense of beauty. And that is, that's the point. So when we see our bodies that way, that's, you know, it's hard to keep an attachment. And it's hard to say, that's me. Where am I in that pile? So we move toward death and decay as well. And there are like 9 contemplations on death and decay that we can participate in to remember that we will age. We will get sick and we will die. Now, in the East, in the Buddhist times, there was a dead body he saw. And there are practices in the East where people are put on funeral pyres. We don't see that here. We don't see bodies in decay. We do see bodies in decay. We can look at animals and see various forms of decay and not be afraid to look away and, you know, and say, this body too is of the same nature. I have a quick story. I don't have very much time left, but when I was in Thailand in the Peace Corps, I was lucky to practice with a small sangha in a temple. I rode my bike there one day. It's an open air temple. There was a monk that lived there with 3 novice monks. And I went there and I looked around and there was a glass case with a skeleton in it. And I said, oh my, he must be teaching them science. And then later, no, he's teaching them death. Death and decay. So that was funny. Before I stop and conclude, I want to share a poem by Mary Oliver called Kitten. More amazed than anything, I took the perfectly black stillborn kitten with the one large eye in the center of its small forehead from the house cat's bed and buried it in a field behind the house. I suppose I could have given it to a museum. I could have called the local newspaper. I took it out into the field and opened the earth and put it back, saying it was real, saying life is infinitely inventive, saying what other amazements lie in the dark seed of the earth. Yes, I did. I think I did right to go out alone and give it back peacefully and cover the place with the reckless blossoms of weeds. When the Buddha, at the moment of his awakening, the culminating moment was when he touched the earth. He claimed the earth in him is his right, that the earth witnessed his right to awaken. That simple, we don't lose the connection with the body. Even the awakened ones, we claim reference to the earth, not our mind. I hope this was useful. Now, let's sit in a moment and I'll lead us through a meditation. I have more time than I thought, so I'm going to share something that the Buddha identified as benefits of the practice of mindfulness in the body. And this is in the Kayagata Sutta. He says there are 10 of them, and I'll just reflect on a few. He said, one becomes a conqueror of discontent and infatuation. One becomes a conqueror of fear and dread. One bears cold and heat, hunger and thirst, contact with gadflies, mosquitoes, wind, sun, creeping things. One endures ill-spoken, unwelcome words and arisen bodily feelings that are painful, racking, sharp, piercing, disagreeable, and menacing to life. Another quick story that I was on a retreat and had the opportunity to have to sit outside in the super hot day with like a gold Buddha, like the glare of that, closing my eyes, of course. But sure enough, these critters started to come on my face, flies. And I said to myself, oh my God, I can't sit here. I'm going to have to leave. But I was concentrated enough, I guess. And what happened was these flies came and were all around my mouth and I felt nothing. No story, but just little sensations. Like I likened them to little hugs. They were like little hugs. Anyway, so let's sit. So I'll use some of the contemplations for the breathing meditation. So we're putting a hand on the heart and belly again. Notice how it's changed from when we first did this at the beginning of the talk. Feeling the sense of groundedness now in the body with the earth element, pressure wherever that contact is made. We're just here, right here, in the body, simply human. Breathing in. I know I'm breathing in. Breathing out. I know I'm breathing out. Breathing in long. I know I'm breathing in long. Breathing out long. I know I'm breathing out long. Breathing in short. I know I'm breathing in short. Breathing out short. I know I'm breathing out short. Breathing in. I'm experiencing the whole body. Breathing out, I'm experiencing the whole body. Breathing in, I'm relaxing the bodily formation. Breathing out, I'm relaxing the bodily formation. Allow it to feel good. Allow joy. If there's discomfort, what is the felt sense of that element? Stay with the felt sense, the changing nature, the arising and passing away. Noting the felt sense of your experience. allowing the breath again and again in the body. Allowing mindfulness to reach the mind, holding its hand back to the body. From Thich Nhat Hanh, breathing in, I am arriving. Breathing out, I am home. Breathing in the here. Breathing out in the now. So just I mentioned some practice notes in the talk. So perhaps one thing I didn't say is to, in the middle of an activity, we can, you know, consciously choose to be present and just watch the movement of the body in space. The reaching, the pulling. As I was taking a shower this morning, I was noting, scrub, 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 noting some everyday activities. And not to necessarily, we don't have to spend a lot of time. We can devote more time, but we can say 5 minutes. I'm going to be absolutely aware of the intentions in my body to move and to act. When we wake up and go to bed, can we take a few minutes to experience the felt sense of waking up? That in-between world of rest, dream, and light and new energy of waking. And the same as we go to bed, noticing the resting quality, the heartbeat, perhaps. And lastly, nurture yourself. Talk to yourself with love. You're safe. You're okay. I'm here. Taking care of ourselves is so important. I know for me, not letting myself go if I haven't eaten, so I reach that point of anxiety. Sleeping, taking walks in nature. The writer Audre Lorde, an activist and feminist, says self-care is a radical political act. And she adds, caring for myself is not self-indulgent. It's self-preservation, and that is an act of political warfare. The note of a continuous mindfulness, try going to bed with continuous mindfulness or something today with continuous mindfulness, intending to stand, intending to bend, bending, 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 reclining, reclining, reclining. That is tough to have that continuous mindfulness. That's what the Buddha is talking about, which leads to the purification. And, you know, if we have that continuously, that's the path to freedom. Okay, a few things. Just I wanted to, we're moving into walking, but one last funny little thing. So I have a flyer here. It says, take care of your body. It's the only place you have to live. And on the other side, it says, safe, simple, effective. Any guesses where it came from? It's not a meditation flyer. A deodorant ad. So I see Dharma everywhere. I just thought that spoke to me because, like, oh, my body. Coming home to the body. So in the walking, there's just two things I want you to think about or do your own thing. One is just a full body awareness walking. Spacious, just allowing your body to walk itself. And at some point you can ask, well, what's walking? What's doing the walking? What's walking? I like to note sometimes the bones in my body, actually sensing into the bones walking. Another way to do it is very mindfully kind of taking the parts of the actual walk and feeling them. So if you're standing and you're ready to take 10 steps forward, you notice intention to move. And you lift, move, lower, and place. And you'll feel the body find its balance. And then again, lift, move, lower, place. And when you get the end of your 10 paces, pause. Intention to turn, turning. And when you're back at your walking stance, intention to move. That's if you really want to feel into what is walking. If you can't walk and you're sitting, a repetitive movement of just lifting your hands. Or if you're on the bed and you can't walk, but could lift your knees, you can do that as well. So we have 10:15 by my watch. So taking time for a walk outside or indoors until 10:30. Well, we won't come back necessarily. We actually have a break until 10:40. So make it a long walk or get yourself some tea or water. And we'll see you back here at 10:40.